I'm Jeff Tiberi. This is Tested from WUNC. I'll listen in to how North Carolina is dealing with COVID-19 and what we're learning about ourselves in the face of a global crisis. Today, childcare. Parents and guardians of little kids have had to contend with an additional layer of uncertainty during the pandemic. Is it safe to drop your child at daycare right now? And how do you know? Childcare centers have in no way been immune from the virus. But the good news is that as of right now, the case numbers for kids in daycare are relatively low. On Monday, the State Health Department, DHHS, added a new tool to its online dashboard. It reports clusters of COVID-19 in childcare facilities. A cluster is defined as 5 or more cases with links between cases at a licensed or regulated child care facility. And there are currently just 3 reported clusters at child care centers across the state. Here's DHHS Secretary Dr. Mandy Cohen.
Reminds us again about the importance of the transmission of this virus. It's in our communities, and we are starting to see more spread in settings that involve our kids. I'll remind folks, for our children, what we see is that for the vast majority of kids, that kids are less impacted by COVID-19. I think the data is still evolving to understand, do kids actually transmit the virus in the same way adults do? It looks like kids transmit the virus less well than adults do.
As data and research continues to evolve on COVID-19 in children, the road ahead for many child care centers remains uncertain. We turn now to hear more about the situation at these facilities from WUNC education reporter Liz Schlemmer. She recently reported on how some facilities are faring. Hey, Liz.
Hi, Jeff.
If we could, I want to start with a snapshot. What has happened with these child care centers since the stay-at-home order was first implemented back in mid-March, and what has happened since then?
Well, I think initially most centers closed, even if it was just for a week, so that they could clean their centers and get their bearings. Then over the past few months, they began to reopen. They all had to apply to reopen with the Department of Health and Human Services. So we have pretty good tracking of that. And we've seen that about 2/3 of them have reopened by early June. But most of them have opened with reduced capacity. I talked to a number of child care providers who were telling me that they were seeing less than half the students that they usually get, that they're operating at 30, 40% or even less, and struggling to stay open because they rely so much on that student tuition and they're just seeing their income plummet.
You spoke with Cassandra Brooks. She's one of the people directly affected by this. She owns and operates Little Believers Academy. It has locations in Clayton and Garner. Tell us a little bit about Cassandra and the state of things at Little Believers.
Right. So she operates these 2 child care centers. She was operating around that 40% capacity the last couple months. And she said she saw another big drop off at the beginning of June. And the reason for that is that some of the families that she was serving in the past couple of months were essential workers who had received a special subsidy under an executive order to be able to send their kids to her because she was still open. And when they stopped receiving that subsidy, some of them had to pull away. And essential workers had become an important part of her clientele in the last couple of months. So she was saying that at one of her locations, they normally serve 40 children and they had only 5 children on a weekday in June.
My biggest fear is that it doesn't pull out. Like, we don't pull out past this, that it doesn't turn around. Childcare doesn't turn around. More people close. You know, I have to close. That's my biggest fear, that will happen.
So she's really talking about the long-term effects on the industry, that she's genuinely concerned that childcare across the United States may not recover from this pandemic, may not be able to bounce back from this economic strain.
Okay, so to that point, you say 40 children typically at a center down to 5. That's like wow factor stuff. Like, that's like, how can you possibly continue to run a business with that much of a drop off?
in addition to that, her costs have gone up. You know, she's trying to clean these centers very carefully. Sometimes it might be a little bit more expensive to get supplies because they're getting sold out. So she's not able to buy them in bulk like she normally would. She's done things like put air purifiers in the rooms and UV lights to kill germs. She's spending extra money just to try to keep things safe and clean.
And one thing that caught my ear from your recent report is that this is not unique to Cassandra and these facilities in Garner and Clayton. One third of all child care centers in the state could close permanently, and in turn, that would leave tens of thousands of children needing care from somewhere else. Who is predicting that? I mean, that is a daunting prediction there. A third of all child care centers, tens of thousands of children. Who's predicting that? And is it really potentially that bad?
So I heard that from two childcare experts / advocates here in North Carolina, and I've also seen it reported nationally from national news outlets and national advocacy groups. I think it's kind of based in two things. One is that there was a national survey in March that over 300 providers in North Carolina responded to, as well as many childcare providers across the country, and a third of them said that they could not withstand a closing of more than 2 weeks without substantial aid. Well, many of them have been closed for much more than 2 weeks now, and there has been some aid, but perhaps not enough. And secondly, I mean, if we look in the data here in North Carolina, a third of these child care centers haven't reopened yet. Now, it might be that they're just concerned about the health risks and they could reopen later, but of the two-thirds that have stayed open, I'm hearing from childcare providers saying they're not sure that they can make it any longer.
Let's turn our conversation to the North Carolina General Assembly and I guess hammer down a little bit on some of the stabilizing efforts that were implemented. But as you've noted in your reporting, these were short-term stopgap measures, so to speak. And a lot of them have dried up at this point. Are there other efforts from the legislature to help these centers at this point?
There were a group of Democrats in the State House that filed a bill to funnel more CARES Act funding to the childcare industry. It's not quite as steep as what was done in March and April, but would put more aid to childcare centers, especially to pay for things like cleaning. The last I checked, which was on Friday, that had not moved forward. It's waiting to be potentially heard in appropriations. Some of the other things that did exist and are no longer there. There was the essential worker subsidy that was for essential workers to be able to pay to send their kids to childcare. There were operating grants that were dispersed directly to childcare centers. I talked to Cassandra Brooks about that, and she said she was initially really hoping that that was what was going to save her. And then she found out that she got about $3,000 and she was hoping it might be more than $10,000 or tens of thousands. So when it turned out to be only $3,000, she didn't feel it was enough to really make a dent.
So let's get into one of the other very important variables in this whole complicated equation. And those would be the families and the parents and the children. And full disclosure, I'm a father of a two-year-old, and we've been having, you know, a hard conversation about when to put him back in, if it's safe to put him back in. And then, of course, there's the financial component. For a lot of people, we've seen a million people file for unemployment. You have to pay for childcare. That's not cheap at all. You spoke with Latoya Buchanan. She's a single mother of three kids. Those children had been going to Little Believers Academy. Where is Latoya at with all of this?
So Latoya is an essential worker. She was a nurse, and she was also going to school to become a nurse practitioner. When she got that subsidy, she said it was a lifesaver for her. It helped her finish her residency and graduate. But now's the time that she'd be looking for a new job as a nurse practitioner. And instead, she's been at home with her kids because she can't afford that first month of childcare to send her kids back to Little Believers so she can go to work. It's making it much harder for her to take a job.
Well, honestly, I had an offer already before graduation. So can't do anything with it because I, you know, I don't have childcare. So I'm just, hopefully, I'm just really trying to stay positive that, you know, they'll hold the job for me. But I mean, right now, every health center, any health institution, they need as much help as possible, you know, so I can try to be hopeful that they'll hold the job, but I mean, I don't know.
What I learned from listening to LaToya is that so much of this is also going to come down to timing, you know, and just as you said, there's kind of two factors to this, right, that parents might be concerned about the health risks for their child, or they may not have the money to send their kid to daycare when they're ready to go back to work, which is what she's dealing with. So she was able to pay for childcare before the pandemic, and the subsidy helped her get through her residency. But now she's at this point where, in order to take a job, she just needs enough money to pay the first couple of months of daycare until her salary is up and running, and that would help her pay for it. But until then, she doesn't have enough just to get started.
Once things get back to relative normalcy, I don't know what that means or when that's going to be, if that's October, November, or a year from now, what are the biggest hurdles preventing the centers from just opening back up again?
I think that's a really important question, and it's something that state health officials who provided the data on attendance, that's a point that they made, is that some of these child care centers could still reopen, right? That they have been reopening steadily and they could continue to do so. But the concern I'm hearing from people like Cassandra is that if she has to close, I mean, you're losing infrastructure. You know, if someone has to give up their building that has already been outfitted to be a childcare center, that has a playground, that has a kitchen, that's going to be hard to get back.
Right.
It's really a matter of timing, too. If you look at someone like LaToya, you got a little bit of a chicken and the egg problem, that you need the demand to keep the centers open, but the centers have to be open for people to send their kids there and be able to go back to work.
Liz Schlemmer is WUNC's education reporter. Sit still. More in just a minute.
Hey, I'm Tested producer Charlie Shelton Ormond, and I need just a moment to tell you about another podcast from North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. It's our politics podcast, hosted by Jeff DeBerry. It's a great way to meet some of the biggest political influencers in our state and get inside the minds of North Carolina's elected officials. Plus, Jeff rounds up the biggest stories each week with someone who's conservative and someone progressive. Trust me when I say their discussions prove there's no easy answer to the question of if North Carolina's a red state or a blue one. This is a huge election year for our state, and having the WUNC Politics podcast in your feed will help you stay on top of all the issues, names, and headlines. Subscribe on this app for new episodes each week.
As childcare centers continue to face an uncertain future, many families are also dealing with a new seasonal hurdle. Summer staples like swim time, archery, ropes courses, and arts and crafts will look a lot different this year. The virus has summer camps improvising.
So the one thing that we all have in common, no matter where we live, is there's an outdoor space at some point, whether it's just a small sidewalk, an actual backyard, or a field. And what we're trying to do is allow children and teens to see that nature can be there to support them.
Blair Stockton is the camp director at Camp Heartsongs in Western North Carolina. They typically put on programs around Buncombe and Henderson counties. But this year, like many other summer camps, they've gone mostly virtual. Stockton says they're connecting with kids to do activities like gardening and cooking.
Even a virtual campfire, one session we're going to do is going to be a hike. And actually, either myself or one of my other staff members is going to go on a hike and take these kids virtually on a hike with them. A child who would never may have ever gotten to experience or taken the time to go for a hike is going to get to see what it's like.
Camp Heartsongs is specifically for kids who are coping with grief and the loss of a loved one. Stockton emphasizes that support for young folks who are grieving has been especially important during the pandemic.
You think about when the pandemic came in, we've all been grieving. We've all been experiencing loss. We lost connectivity. We lost, you know, relationships, being able to have the normal routines that we go through. But for someone who is grieving, for a lot of families, they felt like their grief had to just kind of be put on hold, and that they were supposed to just stop thinking about their loss and be consumed by what was going on in the world around us. And that's not the case, because grief doesn't just shut off. The thing that I've found is, as our pandemic kind of changes and as we move into a time of recovery, that's when the grief is really starting to escalate, because people that weren't allowing themselves to fully or feel like they could grieve during that time are now all of a sudden finding themselves in such a place. And even people that haven't lost someone, we're all finding that need to kind of someone to lift us up, to say, it's going to be okay.
That's it for Tested today. Charlie Shelton-Ormond is our producer. Lindsay Foster-Thomas is our executive producer. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. Dave DeWitt will be back this time next week. Thanks for listening. I'm Jeff Tiberi.